Knudsen.
What's up, Tursky?
This is Two Guys Talking Golf, live in Knudsen's basement.
You're down here in Detroit. It's
the Motor City.
The Motor City, baby.
So, 313.
Welcome to the basement that is, it's clean from what you can see.
I don't know. It's pretty clean.
Well,
compared to my place.
I kind of cleaned it before you came over.
Did you?
If you open the drawers, there's a lot of shit in there.
Are we allowed to curse on this show?
We just did.
All right. We opened the floodgates up there. So it's Detroit versus everybody this week. We're at Detroit Golf Club. Well, we're in your basement, but they're at Detroit Golf Club for the Rocket Mortgage. Area 313.
Yep.
It's popping off this week. They had Calvin Johnson out there. Barry Sanders was out there.
Saw him yesterday.
Did you?
Yep. When we were at, I was doing a little event for PXG. Barry came up, talked to some of the kids that were there from some of the Detroit schools, and he's still looking pretty fit. Love Barry though.
You couldn't tackle him still.
Oh God, no! The guy's legs. His legs are like, I mean, they're as big as me.
I know. So he looks like a little guy on the football field, and he is kind of short, I guess, but he's a fridge.
Dude, he's solid, way solid.
Yeah.
So
really fun week out there. A lot of charity work with the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta love to see that.
Yep.
So I was just going through a bunch of your stuff. He's got really cool stuff. There's even more down here than you can see in the background. So I went through a bunch of his stuff. I don't know if you wanted me to or not, but I wanted to show some of it because he's usually too humble to like actually show it off himself. Well, so we got some cool stuff. We're going to go through it. I picked out like probably 10 different items.
Yeah. Went a little nuts, which is cool. Like I said, realistically, nobody sees this stuff other than like me and my wife. So
you're displaying it for no one, unfortunately.
It's for myself.
Today we're about to make it all famous.
Oh, I love it. It needs to be seen.
So the camera's up there. Got it. I'm gonna have to zoom in on some of this stuff. All right. So this is the original Two Guys Talking Golf logo from 5 years ago, my first time around before I ditched you. Sorry about that, by the way.
It's all right.
But I am back. So we had this made up.
Yeah, we had a contest to have for the logo, and we got some unbelievable submissions. Like, some people like are super creative.
I know.
And
way more creative than us.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe you guys should be content creators instead of us then.
Yeah, and that was what we went with. So we got a bunch of balls made by Titleist. Mm-hmm. We had a bunch of Pro V1, Pro V1Xs, AVXs. And you made a comment, you're like, wow, this sleeve is like super minty. I'm like, I took it out the day we got them. And I put them in that cabinet, and I had never touched
them. I ruined all my fresh sleeves. Like, I kept a couple new golf balls. I think I have the AVXs still.
Yep.
Just as mementos to kind of post up on the wall or just have to keep. But I did not keep the sleeves. That was very smart of you.
Well, do you remember where we give away the most of them?
No.
L.A.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Well, we went out to L.A. to do a bunch of different stuff.
Yep. And it was that Malbon golf outing. It was one of the first ones that probably they did. I mean, it was really early.
We gave away so many, actually.
We put them out on a table with a couple of the head covers, some other stuff, and it was all gone within, like, a couple groups.
Well, you know, people, like, they're like, oh, can I grab two sleeves, actually? And it's like, yeah, take whatever you want. We got so many. And then, like, three groups in, everything's gone.
Everything's gone. Yeah, it was all gone. So
that was a really fun trip, though. We interviewed Mike Trout. We stayed together in, like, a one-bedroom... I don't even know if it was one bedroom. It was like a studio.
Barely get into the part, like the parking, like that around the corner. Like you had to get, like wedge yourself into the
driveway.
Like
21-point turn just to get into the parking lot.
But it was like a block away from downtown West Hollywood.
It was actually in a great location. And we played that par 3 course.
Los Feliz.
We made some custom shirts. If anyone has one of those orange, it's like light orange shirts. I think we gave away like 10 of them or something?
No, I don't think so.
We just made them for us.
I think we just made like two or three.
How selfish of us.
Yeah. I've still got mine upstairs. Still fits.
Barely. So let's keep it rolling. This is a podcast, unfortunately, and people can't see this stuff. We're only listening to podcasts. So my suggestion, I guess, would be to go on the Golf WRX YouTube channel where you could actually see us going through some of this stuff. I just thought about that, so maybe we'll move it along a little bit quicker than I thought it was going to go. But either way,
all right.
Here's a golf ball that says Tiger on the side of it. So I figured I'd take that out and let you tell this story, whatever it is. It says St. Clair Shores, number 13, par 5.
Yep. So that is it's a Bridgestone Tour B XS that I got my Albatross with. So I was playing St. Clair Shores, number 13. It's a short par 5, but I hit a great drive and then knocked a 7-iron in from, I don't remember what the yardage was, but that was the ball I used for.
How far is this par 5?
It's only like 470 yards or something like that, 480 yards.
But
it's
short. Counting that as an Albatross.
I mean, it went in two. So
does the USGA have your back on that? What's the minimum requirement for a par 5?
I don't know. That, you know, that's a good question. I don't know. I did knock it in, though. And that hole, I mean, it's easy. But it does have some water right. So if you do flare it a little right, a bigger hitter, you can put it in the water. It's not a pure walk-away gimme hole. But, okay. But yeah. But I hit driver 7-iron. And it was during COVID. So the ball, as it hit, it like kind of peeled off to the right. And it just stopped. And you could still see the ball, though. So, like, I was playing with the guys I was playing with. We're like, oh, it's in. And I was like, no, it's not. You can see it. Like,
it's on one of those foam pads,
yeah,
you're saying?
It hit the pin. It fell into the little plastic cup thing. But you could still see, like, the top of the ball out of it. But it was in the cup. But I was like, no, it hit. It's behind it. Like, it's fine.
How good did that feel? Have you ever had a hole-in-one?
No. I've never even really been that close to a hole-in-one. So,
are you happier that you made an albatross versus a hole-in-one?
No. Which is funny because the albatross is much rarer. It's way rarer than a hole-in-one, yet it doesn't feel quite the same, I think, as getting a hole-in-one.
But it takes more skill, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Because you got to hit two really quality shots.
Yeah, yeah. And just get lucky, too. I mean, really. I mean, all of them, you have to get lucky, but... No, it doesn't. And it doesn't have the same clout, because when people say, like, oh, do you have a hole-in-one, you still have to say no.
Yeah, but you could be like, no, but I have an albatross. Do you have one of those?
And I don't. And I've said that, and like, a handful of people, you have to, like, explain what it is. It's like, hey, I've got an albatross, and they're like, well, what's that? And you're like, a 2 on a par 5. And a lot of people are just kind of like... Oh,
well, you could say double eagle, I guess, instead.
That's true.
It's a little more general.
But then they just kind of go, oh, okay. Like, people, I don't think people like casual golfers, I don't think are as impressed with an albatross as maybe, like, you know, more hardcore golfers.
Which is unfortunate. I think we should start some sort of hashtag or viral trend to
make albatrosses great again. Yeah. make the albatross great again.
I love it. Okay. So we have a bunch of putter covers.
Yep.
Like, he has a bunch of putter covers back here behind that you always see, like, in his studio. I'm going to tilt this a little bit so you can see the ones up top as well.
Yep.
But he has a bunch more than that. He's got, like, a whole case of stuff. So I'll just go through them pretty quick. This is Pinehurst.
Yep. So that was the cradle. Went down there to check out Golf
Sick
Pride's
logo.
Yeah, it is. The Golf Pride's headquarters just had opened up. And they had a bunch of people down, media down, to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And we went and did all the stuff, checked out headquarters, which is pretty cool. And then we went and played the cradle. And we played it twice in a row. You know, got done, jumped right back in, played it again. And when I was done, I was like, I saw that in the pro shop. I was like, I have to get it.
Is the cradle all it's cracked up to be? Like, what's the Bandon Dunes short course called?
Oh, that one is the Preserve, which is the actually Preserve. That headquarters.
Like, compare those two.
I like the Preserve better. Well, the Preserve is more like
shots fired.
Yeah, well, I mean, this Preserve is more like, I don't know, it more. Well, I'm trying to say, like, I like the Preserve better because I think it was. It's kind of more. I don't know. It's more interesting in a sense. The cool thing about the cradle is, like, you can grab a beverage and play with like 5 buddies, and nobody cares. There were people out there playing barefoot. There were people.
I think you could do that.
They got
as well.
Music playing, like, they've got a
ball. Like, it's a whole vibe.
There's a whole, like, big bar up top that you can just go grab a drink. There's, like, chairs sitting out. You can just watch people play if, you know, you've just got done play. There's a ton of cool, like, it's a cool social hangout. Like, if they could put lights there, it would be an awesome place to play, like, a quick 9 after dinner, have a beverage or two with the boys, throw a couple bucks down.
That's my type of
and
golf.
Have fun. It was sweet. The Preserve is more, like... beautiful, and it like you know, it has the tall grass, and it like really fits in with Bandon Dunes, and it's just a really cool layout, cool piece of property, really interesting holes of the way they're set up. So
I like their logo too.
Yeah, like I said, that's that 13 right there, the blue camel ones from the Preserve.
There you go, he's got it all.
So
okay, next one up, we got one that I really like. I thought Odyssey did a great job with these ones from Augusta this year.
Yep.
Do you remember what year it was from?
Yeah, 14. So that's the Odyssey Mallet from the Masters in 2014. I like that one a lot, but yeah. I really loved the 13 better. The 13 just had one azalea on it, which
Do
I don't
have that
no,
one.
No, I don't. It's like it was like the hardest one to find.
Very disappointing.
So I have the 13 bag on the other side of this desk, and I've got a 13 fairway wood cover that somebody mismarked on eBay as a woman's flower head cover.
No.
And I got it for
you got a sick deal.
Oh, for like $15. I got it for like $15 or $20.
Shout out that eBay seller.
Yeah, so they messed up. But the 14 one was awesome, and I got my hands on the 14. So it's still a cool cover. I mean, I love the Masters, so Master stuff is always really sweet.
All right, another cool one that I like a lot, the Corder, Wisconsin.
Yeah, 2015. That was sick. That cover was really cool. It actually was part of back when Callaway did the Team Callaway, where you could like it was I think it was like $200 for the year. They'd send you like three or four boxes of just stuff like swag, and you got anything from a polo to a head cover to whatever. Like they just had different.
So you
stuff.
Didn't know, like you weren't checking a box. Just like, open they the just box. Sent whatever. Okay.
And I opened it up, and that was like one of the things in there. I was like, "That's awesome!"
Oh my god.
So because that is a pretty fresh head cover with the
very fresh.
Yeah.
Okay. Here is another one. I like this one because it's got a unique little strap on it.
Yeah.
Is that upside down?
No.
Got the memorial.
Yeah. So I just got the one this year. One of the boys at work was down at the memorial tournament. Not you, actually. Another guy from from WRX.
I wouldn't have been so thoughtful to buy you something.
Yeah. So our boy Aaron was down there, and he sent me a text. He's like, "Hey, I'm heading to the pro shop. Do you want something from the memorial?" And I was like, "Heck yeah." I'm like, "Give me a head cover." And he came back with this, and it's super classy. It's got the little trophy on it,
and that's like a helmet stripe, like a football helmet. Yeah, kind of
like
stripe.
That, like maybe like a racing stripe from a car. Mm-hmm. Right, so it's like a really light gray, two white stripes, green trim, but really cool. And like you said, the closure on it's cool because it's plastic, and you can kind of move it. So if you have a center shaft putter, you can use it with that. If you have a lefty or righty putter, it'll still work.
I've actually never seen this on another putter cover. I'm going to show it one more time.
Yeah, it's just plastic, so it moves around pretty easily. So.
I bet that sounded great on a podcast.
Yeah. So you can move it around, and it's pretty cool. I mean, I'll probably never use it, but it's pretty cool.
No, but you'll display it.
Yeah.
And you'll talk about it on the podcast.
That's right.
Okay. Then, obviously, Rocket Mortgage this week, and he does have a Detroit golf club.
Got the Detroit golf club, so...
Fresh all white. You can't use this one ever because...
No. So I've got actually...
Too white.
I've got in my bag over there the hybrid cover, too, that I use. So that you can actually see it over there, the black with the
red.
You
actually use it. It's in like...
That one I actually use.
Okay.
For a hybrid. But no, we got to play it the first year of the Rocket, which I think was unfortunately right when you left WRX. I think it was like that year. They invited us out as part of media to go play.
I had been dying to play it for 5 years.
So
as soon as I leave. Yeah. Dang.
So myself, when Johnny Wonder, Ryan Brath, all of us at the time, while working for WRX, went down and played it. You were supposed to play a scramble. They had foursome set up. So we walked up, we see our name on the board, we start at 13A, whatever the number was. And there was a woman's name there who was supposed to be part of our group.
Okay.
And she never showed up.
So you guys.
It was just us three, and we were like, "Well, we're not playing a scramble." And we moved, we played as back as far as we could. That was like they would rope off like the actual like
one
pro
step
tees.
Off the back of the tee box.
Yeah, we would be like one step right there, and we played it, and it was awesome. It's really cool, old school course. I can see where these guys shoot 20 plus under because, I mean, I think there were holes where I'm like, I hit a good drive and I had like 6-7 iron into the green on a par 4. And I'm looking back at where the tee box is and I'm like, you know, these guys can hit it 50 yards past me with no problem. So they're easily going to have 8-9 irons into these greens, wedges into these greens. And it's, but the greens are awesome. Like they're crazy undulated. Like 18's got this bowl in the middle of it that if you get into, it's really nasty. I mean, they're really cool greens. So it was a blast.
We've played Dearborn Country Club a lot, and I feel like the layout and just the style of the architecture is very similar, except Dearborn's way tighter. Like, would you say Dearborn's a more difficult golf course than Detroit?
No, I think Detroit's greens are a little harder, just because, like Dearborn is awesome. Greens are super smooth. They have real subtle breaks. You never have a straight putt. The ones at Detroit are just, you see the mound, you see the hill, and it's just more aggressive, and I think you can put pins there in nastier spots than you can. And the other thing that Detroit has that's a little different than Dearborn, because I think they're both Donald Ross's, Detroit has I don't want to call it elevation, but they've got a little more slope between tee and green. Like there's some holes.
Detroit?
Yeah, I think so.
It looks flat out there.
It's pretty flat. To me. I think Dearborn's flatter, personally. Okay. But I think there's a little more...
Dearborn's pretty flat.
There's a little more undulation like in the fairways and stuff at Detroit. But both of them, like you said, kind of super tight. They're not long, but you got to keep it in the fairway. And the greens are always tough.
I would think that most listeners don't know Dearborn Country Club.
Probably not.
But that's okay. Yeah. It's a Detroit-based podcast. What are you
going to do? Yeah, everything we play, like everything I play, is in Metro Detroit. I don't travel around that much.
I'll have to talk about more Scottsdale golf courses.
Yeah, see,
broaden our horizons a little bit. Okay,
the dust on that bad boy.
This thing is fire.
Yeah. So this is a replica of the Golden Black Arnold Palmer 50th anniversary Callaway bag. They did like these miniature versions of the staff bag. So it's super tiny. And it's like the 50th appearance of his Masters, I think was what it was. And I remember seeing them online or something like that. And I wanted to get one. I just didn't get it. And then I was on my, I think my wife actually found it and she was like, yo, like these things are on this discount site called Woot. And like, you should get one. And I
it's
like,
not jumped sponsored.
On there. No,
it's
not at all. And I jumped on there like $20. So I was like, oh yeah, of course I'm getting her $20.
Done deal.
So it was done. But it's a cool little like golden black staff bag. They made like a full version of that, which would be cool to have the mini and the full one. But
so guys were carrying it around like in his honor, or they just made it?
I think they made it to sell it like as a limited edition. Okay. I don't think you. I don't remember. It was a while ago, so I don't know if any guys on tour were actually using them then. But you could buy one. It was pretty cool.
So I like how you have golf clubs down here, like
right above.
Here's a rack on the. On the ceiling, like pretty creative spot to have it, but
yep.
Kind of have golf clubs as like art pieces.
A little bit.
I would qualify it as. I think you got some magnets up there to hang like wedges and irons and stuff. So I was just kind of looking at a bunch of the different golf clubs. One caught my eye in particular because it's probably the most identifiable like color scheme and yes. driver maybe ever made.
Probably pretty close.
Because it can't really get confused with anything. Maybe like the Cobra Fly Z stuff?
The BioCell stuff was, I think, the white with the orange or blue or red. Yeah, that was probably...
But it also has the highlighter green, which no one else has. So we got the Nike Vaporfly.
Yep, the Nike Vaporfly. So interesting story about that. So we had that head... Actually, we had a handful of Vaporfly heads when I first started at WRX, just laying around the office from gear trials in 16.
Yeah.
And...
Which is really how, like, you got your start...
Yeah.
Like, working at Golf WRX, right?
Was 100%.
2016 gear trials. Yep. I was there as well.
You were?
I think we all kind of just got along. We were like, this guy really knows equipment.
And I was just into being there and hitting balls and hanging out with everybody, and it worked out. But so that head was laying around the office for like a couple of years. We finally like everything just like running out of space. And it was like, what are you going to do with this junk? And we were debating, like, do we just throw these heads out? There were like four of them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'll just take them.
Yeah.
So, of course, I took them. I gave, like, one to my brother. I put a shaft in it. And that one went to my father-in-law with, like, a Basara regular flex in it. And he hit it for a while because I think the driver he had was, like, a Wilson box set. Like, it was terrible.
Brutal.
So, that is a terrible
driver. No offense to Wilson.
That is a bad driver, but it was way better than what he had. So, okay. He played it for a few years, and then I upgraded him at the end of last year.
So Nike does not make golf equipment anymore, so we can give, like, real opinions. Would you say that's one of the worst drivers ever made? Like, I think some of their Covert stuff was not great.
Yeah, I think I put the red Covert stuff worse than the Fly. Because actually, there was a that's the Vaporfly. There was a Vaporfly Pro, and then there was a Vaporfly, well, the one with the big carbon back, that had a big black carbon fiber backside. The Pro was actually okay. I'll call it okay. It was serviceable.
Compared to every other driver on the market at the time, it was by far the highest spinning and had the lowest ball speed. I do remember that just from testing.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't like still play it. I haven't gone back to it. Nike's had some bad drivers over the years.
Unfortunately,
For how good their irons, wedges, fairway woods, we still see the fairway woods.
Even some of the putters were pretty darn good.
Some of the putters, yeah. I mean, all that method stuff, like release the Rory,
awesome.
That putter. The Tiger putter, obviously they have some good mallets, but their drivers, they just never really quite figured it out.
No, they did. Fairway Woods had that iconic. I mean, we've seen it every week.
We still see them out there.
But yeah, I think hybrids, I thought the shaping was always bad on. I never hit them well just because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, drivers just, they were always lagging behind everybody else.
What were some of the other drivers they released? There was the Sasquatch, obviously.
So the Ignite.
Really bad.
I think the Ignite. Oh, no, they had...
The Ignites were awful.
The Ignites were good because the first one that came out, which I don't remember the name, it was just blue and silver.
I had trash. That one. I demoed that one. Like, I took it out to the course
never
one
brought
time,
it back.
And I hit some of the worst shots ever.
Yep.
With, like, a new aftermarket shaft. Like, I got fit and all that, and I took it out against my gamer driver at the time, which was probably like, I don't know, a 983K,
of course,
or something like that, of course, like back in the day. And I was just hitting the worst, like, knuckleball shots that were going super low left, and I was hitting the 983K super high, and I was like, I'm taking this thing back. Oh, like,
junk.
I think Tiger was playing it at the time, so I really wanted to use it. Like,
yeah,
I think it was Duval and Tiger had it in the bag, and I wanted to love it, and I just couldn't.
Yeah,
it was just something about that driver was so, like, unforgiving.
And then I think the Ignite was slightly better, and then it was just, I mean, after that, did they move into the yellow stuff, like the SQ stuff? And they went, you know, they went SQ with SQ, then SQ square, and that was horrible. And then and it's just, yeah, I mean, it realistically, they've always just been behind everybody else. Like, they've never been the driver.
But specifically, like, the driver, which is really weird, because you think, yeah, you know, they would pour a bunch of time, energy, engineering, research, and design into the driver, especially, I mean, they're trying to get a driver that Tiger's going to play and love, yeah, and everything else in their lineup was pretty good.
Yeah, it really was.
I mean, their irons and wedges, Mike Taylor was the man behind the scenes doing all that, doing all the groundwork, yeah, and designing. So no shocker that those are classics and still in bags.
I want to know, I mean, it'd be interesting. I mean, I think they just tried too hard. I think they tried to make things too different, too hard. Like, they wanted to be different than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I think they just took that too far. Like, the whole big cavity back on the bottom. Like, if you go to any other OEM, they're like, yeah, I don't know what they're doing with that.
It just,
like,
doesn't make sense from a CG,
yeah, exactly,
perspective. You know, you're, yeah, trying to get weight low, and it just feels like that huge cavity, it's moving everything upward. Up. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Everybody you talked to was like, yeah, I don't know what they're doing. I think they're, yeah, just trying to be too different, trying to create this story, and it just didn't work out.
I think they were trying to get the weight, like, low and forward.
But take the spin off, yeah. You, like, know what SLDR, I mean, style.
Right.
But unfortunately, the SLDR, we all know how that went. It didn't. It was amazing for the really good drivers of the ball and really high spin players, high speed players. Terrible for anybody else.
I think it was just, yeah, around that time I was playing the SLDRS. I was, like, actually practicing,
yeah,
and playing and hitting the ball pretty well.
So you were actually.
And then it's like, once you kind of take a couple weeks off, you come back to it, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
What do we got here? Okay, so there was one more thing. I just saw it. That was supposed to be the last one.
Yeah.
This is going to be the last one now. He's got a TaylorMade rack blade.
Yeah.
Literally just sitting here on the desk. Like, and no one would ever see it. It's just up against the wall. It actually, his grooves facing out. Like, you couldn't even see the back of it. But pretty cool iron right here.
And almost brand new. So the story behind that is there's two of them. There's a second one floating around here somewhere. Before I started working at Golf the BRX, I was fortunate as a member to be picked as a tester for True Temper. True Temper, okay, did some stuff with some shafts.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. It was actually a good time. And I remember they were sending shafts, and I think they were sending like two iron shafts. And I wanted to for my review in the forum,
mm-hmm,
I wanted to have two exact heads that I could hit, put one shaft in one and the other shaft in, okay, the other.
Smart.
So I went on eBay and I found somebody who was selling just like, what are those, six or seven iron,
yeah,
heads?
Yeah, these are six iron.
Just six iron heads, brand new,
mm-hmm,
for like, they were like $10 or something like that. So I snagged two of them.
You're a deal shopper. You find great deals.
For stuff like that, yeah. It was like $10, so I snagged up two of them. They came wrapped in plastic. They were still in the plastic, had the little yellow cap on the hosel, brand new. And the other one's around here somewhere. There's a brass tip weight stuck in it, and I haven't gotten it out yet. But I just haven't used them yet. Or, I mean, I used them for like, that thing's probably hit 10 balls.
Coin forged on, yeah, the side.
I think that was the fancy way of saying forged.
To show up, but yeah, yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's one of them. Like I said, there's a second one in one of these drawers somewhere.
It's not the Tour Preferred MC, but I would say this is one of their classics.
Oh, and they are super soft.
The Rack Series.
They're super soft. The CBs of those were super soft, too. And they did the comp. That was the one they did the combo set with,
mm-hmm,
where you get the blades and the low irons and the CBs and the tall irons. So those were super, super soft.
I'm going to put that out so you can actually see the iron head.
All right.
How about that?
Right. Maybe one of these I'll find the other one, too.
Okay, so that wraps up the Nuts and Stuff segment.
Yep.
He also has... I'm going to turn this camera one more time. He has one of my favorite pictures ever. It's the one where Ben Hogan and Arnold Palmer are standing on the, yep, tee box at Augusta, and they're both just ripping darts.
Yep, pulling darts, waiting to hit balls.
It just makes me laugh because imagine like Tiger and Rory just sitting up on the tee box,
like
like just smoking. At Augusta, just ripping cigs.
I mean, well, if you go follow, well, the funny
probably thing, like hungover too. Like,
oh yeah, this guy for sure.
Maybe still drunk. Maybe a couple shots of bourbon, like before the round.
So the funny is, like, when you go, like, I went to was it the Masters when I went in 16 or whatever? Well, Daly, I've seen Daly at tournaments, and Daly still smokes out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just don't show it.
TV. I forgot about Daly. Yeah,
and a couple other guys will too. Like,
I think someone counted like how many darts and Diet Cokes.
Yeah,
and what else does he? I think he takes down like peanut M&Ms
or something. Yeah, it was some
like an absurd vices. Amount of all three, and no water ever. Like, he doesn't drink water.
Which, I mean, it's still working. The good boy still hits it a long way. So
talk about not staying hydrated.
Well,
all right. So the back half of the show, I don't know how long we've been going. I can't see the counter.
25 minutes.
Okay, cool. I do have to catch a flight soon. Yeah. I got to go back.
So this is going to be an episode that's a little shorter.
Unfortunately, I've had a great time in Detroit since I've been back.
Yeah,
I've
back in the city, baby. A lot of
great food. Saw some old friends.
The city welcomed you back.
I appreciate it.
It missed you.
I appreciate it. I missed you guys, too. I'm just happy I came back in the summer and not the winter.
That's true. That's a good point.
Okay. Are we going to talk about LIV Golf, or you want to just...
I mean, we can... I mean, I guess we can mention it. Well, I guess let's hit it. We'll come back to it at the end if we get time.
Well, we got two new ones, Charles Howell III, Bubba Watson. We can move along from that. All
right. A little shot to Bubba Watson.
What's that?
A little shot to Bubba Watson.
A little shot?
Shocked.
Oh, shocked. Yeah. I don't think I'm shocked. He kind of fits, like, here we are, we're talking about it now.
Yeah.
He kind of fits the profile of guys that have been going.
I just feel like
he won majors.
I know, but
10 years ago now. Career's, you know, kind of been floundering a little bit.
True.
No offense to Bubba, but, you know, he's not winning and competing at top leaderboards every week.
No. I just look at it as he was, you know, he seems to be a man who's very into his faith. Him and his family are very into their faith, and that's great. And I feel like, you know, with the moral aspect of LIV and where people have a lot of problems with it, I would have felt that he might have similar problems, is what I would have thought. And that's why it's a little shocking to me. So, like I said, with the way his game is and all that, not blown away in that side. It was just that side of which, you know, I thought he may have a problem with it there. But, gotcha. Hey, you know what? Good for him.
I thought Charles Howell's quote was pretty funny. He said, money was not a factor in moving.
I can't. There's no way.
Chucky 3.
I love Chucky 3.
We love Chucky 3. He's a big gearhead. I know he's a Golf WRX guy. He's on our Instagram and stuff all the time. Yeah. Like, I'll see him, like, posts. He probably has a forum handle, I'm sure.
Guaranteed.
I'm sure he's in there in the forums. But that quote just gave me a laugh. That's all.
No.
I'm sure it was a slight factor, at least. No. I mean, I'm sure you considered.
There's no way.
You looked at the zeros and commas, and you were like, yeah.
Yeah, the dude put up $50 million in his career here, and he looks at it and says, I can make $50 million in the last couple before I retire.
I'm seeing some wild stuff about the team aspect. They're expanding. It looks like they are going to force guys to play a minimum and then also play international series. So the more you hear about it, the more it is just like, okay, so you're basically playing the same amount of events. This isn't about spending time with your family. It is about the money.
It is. Yeah. It's 100% about the money.
Because it's going to be a lot more travel. Like, they're going to have to go out to Asia, it sounds like Europe.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be touring the country.
Oh, the world.
Or not the world.
Yeah, they're touring the world.
I didn't mean to say country. I meant world.
The fact of the matter is, like, Pat Perez is the one who came out and just flat out said it best. I've been on tour as long as I have, whatever.
Yeah.
I want the money. I want to play a little less. I want to be home, whatever.
I paid my dues. Yeah. It's a lot of guys that have, like, paid their dues. They've been out there 15 years. They want a little extra.
Something for the effort.
A little extra change the last 5-7 years of their career. Yeah. Like,
I get it.
I mean, I can get on board with that. I can respect that.
But 100%.
We can get off LIV. We can get back to the PGA Tour. We are in Detroit. They are in Detroit. Again, the Rocket Mortgage.
Yeah, Fino was playing well this morning.
Yeah, he's leading.
Yeah, he was 6-under when I looked that up.
He's 8-under, he finished at 8-under. I think he's tied for the lead. Yeah, he has the leaderboard up.
He was a minus 6-11 when I looked last.
Let's verify this. Yeah, he's tied, and they have Webb Simpson played well. He's one of our topics this week. Nice. Okay.
Both guys are.
We'll start with Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
He has been changing putters essentially every week for the last, like, 2 years.
Yeah, yes.
He's been testing. He's been getting prototypes built. He just went through a couple of those 3D printed Cobra. Yeah. I want to say King Sport.
Yeah, what, I can't remember the exact model, but the one that had it's little wings. 20. And he, yeah. And he had the wings kind of shaved off by everybody at the Cobra. And then he had that special base plate put in with his daughter's
birthday on there. I love that one.
It was like pink and blue design. Or whatever. It was sweet. Yeah.
Well, that putter's gone.
Yeah.
So not in the bag anymore. He also played like a TaylorMade Spyder GT.
Yep.
He played blade versions of Cobra 3D printed putters. A bunch of different Scotties. He was always testing. Like, he would test mallets and blades. So he was just popping all around, and that's all within the last year.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's been
like this season.
Everywhere. He's been searching everywhere.
He's been searching far and wide. I did write a story about his new putter switch over on PGAtour.com if you're curious about it, but we will basically cover all the information that's in there right now. he switched back to his Scotty.
Yep.
It's a Newport 2.
Yeah. Squared off version. Newport
GSS. Yep. German stainless steel. What I think is really interesting about that particular putter, and this is the one that he first debuted 2014, I think it was the Northern Trust.
Wow.
And Greg Moore was out there photographing it, and he got in-hand photos of the original, like, fresh out of the box putter. But what I think is most interesting about it is that it actually came from a box of heads that were made for Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I heard that.
Like, in the room, box, yeah. Like, said Tiger Woods on it. Like, basically, don't touch. This is for Tiger.
I'll take one.
The GOAT. All German stainless steel. And I think a bunch of them had, like, you know, different bumpers, slightly shorter or taller faces, slightly different cavities, different necks. So, slightly different looks. And Ricky basically got one out of that stash. He got permission. I don't know if it was Tiger personally or someone at Scotty Cameron, but got permission to take one. Got it all stamped up with his logo, got it fit, and he's been off and on with this putter for a
long time
since then. Like, yeah. I think he used it for, you know, like 5 years.
Yeah, it was the only one.
And then he started getting backups made, like slightly different stampings on them, so you could kind of tell, I'm sure, essentially the same putter with slight adjustments. And then obviously in recent years, he's just been changing a bunch. Like, historically speaking, you know, you go back 2 years from that point, like 2 years to the start of his career, he's been a great putter.
He was, like, phenomenal.
He has one of the best strokes on tour, in my opinion, and still does. Like, I talked to him at the beginning of the year, and basically he was saying his problem is, like, reading the greens and trusting his reads. Because he's like, if I'm hitting flat putts from 8 feet, I'm not missing.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you start throwing in the other factors. Obviously, he's just been, like, struggling in general to put tournaments together. I think he struggled today. I think he's, like, one over out there. So, obviously, a lot of ground to make up. He's been making cuts, but he's been finishing T74.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I talked to him just briefly. He was going from the range out to his pro-am, and I was just like, hey, why the switch back to Scotty, right? And he was like, it's basically just run its course, like me trying all those different putters.
You gotta go
like,
back.
It just ran the course. Like, I've been doing this throughout my career. He's like, I go to something different for a little change, and then I end up going back to it. He calls it his trusty. Yeah. And he said, I just had to put it in timeout for a little bit. Like, he actually said that. Hey, I thought that was really funny.
I've been there. And doesn't the new one, oh, that one now, it has, like, some of the paint fills missing, and it's a little more beat up now.
All of the white paint is like, missing, except the R.
Yeah. But I was looking at it recently.
So I was thinking, I was like, was that intentional? Like, I wish I would have noticed that before I asked him, because I'd like to know if he just started scratching it and left just the R. Because
awesome.
The dancing R of Cameron, it does happen to be, like, almost right in the center of the face.
Yeah.
So it looks pretty solid as is. Obviously, you can tell it's, like, worn. And
oh, yeah.
I mean, it's got a wear spot kind of similar to Tiger's, like, right in the center of the face.
Did you know that thing's hit so many putts?
So many
putts. It's 8 years old.
He takes care of his putter way better than Tiger takes care
of it. Oh, yeah. There's, like, not a ding in it. Like, it's, like, perfectly smooth. It's just the face is worn and the paint feels all, like, falling out of it.
You know why Tiger's putter is so, like, dented and scratched and stuff? I've seen him play practice rounds without the putter cover on.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, dude, that's I can't do that.
Like, I don't know if he's great at putting the cover on after every, like, hole, especially if he's playing a cart. Like he'll just toss it in there. Yeah, oh. But he'll keep it there. Oh. It's wild.
It gives me just
like,
anxiety.
Dude, that putter is worth 50 mil plus. Like, can we be careful? It adds so much character to it because it's like, oh my god, that's Tiger's putter.
Someday somebody's gonna authenticate that long after he's gone off the face of the earth.
You're not gonna need to authenticate.
Somebody's gonna authenticate it by like, oh yeah, there's that ding in the heel there, and da da da.
It's just gonna be a post-it note that says it's real.
It's real. Look at the dings. It's real.
Okay, so just a couple more topics. It was kind of a slow equipment week, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Luckily, we had your merch hanging all around so we can actually get a podcast
show.
Yeah. Okay, so Webb Simpson, he went back to 680 MBs.
Yeah.
So it was like kind of a big story right around the PGA Championship. He had been playing blades his whole life, and then he switched into T100s.
Yep.
So kind of a big deal if you've been playing blades to go to a club like that, and it was kind of like a feather in the cap of the T100s, the profile at least. And the performance in the field to like live up to the standards of a Webb Simpson, because you know he loves blades, he loves that look, thin top lines, et cetera, et cetera. He got rid of them. He went back to the 680s. He was playing the 620 MBs before he switched the T100s. I think he had been playing those for like a year. Yeah. But he didn't switch back,
from the
T100. Yeah, he went all the way back.
I mean, the 680s, Adam's got 680 AS. I mean, the 680s, mm-hmm. there's something about them there. And there's got to be something with the way they perform. Like, it can't be just maybe it is some of the look. I mean, Adam's got to like them because they have a little more offset.
A little more offset, yeah. And maybe, that, like, higher, it's like a pointy toe.
Yeah, it's a little more squared
some
off.
Some of the irons, at least. Like, I feel like the profiles don't really match, like, all the way through. Like, some of them have a high toe on it. And then some are more rounded.
Yeah, I think the higher, like the lower irons, the 4, 5, 6, all very sharp toed. Mm-hmm. And then you get down and they get a little more rounded as you get down through the set. But the other thing too is like the muscle on that seems to be larger and kind of come up higher on the back of the club than the new 620s and stuff like that.
Maybe that's why they like it. Maybe it's like a little bit higher CG for more penetrating ball flight.
Yeah, maybe it launches a hair lower, or maybe it spins just slightly differently than the 620s. And
can we get our hands on a 680 head? Can we do like 7-iron versus 7-iron versus 7-iron and do 620 MBs?
I mean,
680 MBs. And I'd love to get one of Adam Scott's or JT's.
That'd be ridiculous.
I don't know if we could track those down. I'm going to see if I could pull some strings and get one, though. We just need one head. Yeah. We'll do testing and we'll give it back. I promise.
I don't think we need... I don't think we can get that off eBay.
No, we're not going to find that off eBay. That might be like we have to DM them directly.
Yeah. Like, you got a backup of a backup set.
Because I don't know if Title... I don't know how many they made. I mean, I'm sure they have the CAD files and stuff, and it wouldn't...
I heard like the rumor when Adam Scott was playing 680s and they reissued him 680s, they had to make like 10 or 12 sets like minimum. That was like the minimum mm-hmm. forging they would do.
Yeah.
So they made 10 or 12 sets and then he picked the room and picked the ones he wanted. That was the rumor. So there's at least got to be a handful, half a dozen to a dozen sets laying around somewhere.
I haven't looked on eBay for 680s. My guess would be that no one would be selling them. Like if you have them, you're not selling them.
Probably.
You're keeping them. Well, you know? That's like something you try to get your hands on. Yeah. You look up that real quick.
All right.
I'll move along. So shout out Webb Simpson. He's actually playing well. He's 6-under through the first round.
Nice.
I think these podcasts go live on Friday, so it's going to be basically irrelevant by that point.
But he's playing well today.
We're trying to put it in context here. Okay, Tony Finau. He won last week at the 3M Open. We just got word from Titleist that there was something unique about his golf ball marking, so I wanted to catch up with him. Got some photos of how he marks his golf ball. It's pretty unique. He's got, you know, like those little plastic things, the half, I'm not describing this very well, but you put it over the golf ball and then
a little template that you snap on and you put the line on. Yeah.
Perfect. So you get the line.
Yeah.
Like you get the center line, but there's also the small lines on the side.
Yeah.
He fills those in too.
Oh, he does look sweet. Callaway's triple trap. There's something similar where he's got three lines on the top?
Yeah, exactly. But it's not like full line.
Oh,
like it's
really?
Kind of cut, so it's four small
lines. Oh, yeah. I've seen that before. Yeah, I've seen that.
So he does that on the side. And then on the front, like he plays a Titleist golf ball. and splitting the number, he has his kids' initials, and he has five. Oh, he has five. Right. He has five kids, so it's pretty funny to keep them all involved. Like when he gets an unlucky bounce, or maybe he makes a couple bogeys in a row, he tosses one kid out, and then he brings up the next kid, and he's like, at some point, one of the kids is going to get hot.
That's true.
You know, and they stay. He's like, I am lenient, but it's like if you're not performing,
you gotta go.
Yeah, you gotta go. You gotta get back on the bench. So I just think it's funny, like thinking of your kids is like
part of the reason that golf ball's not performing well.
Right. And I mean, golfers are always superstitious like that. I used to do that with like a number, a certain number,
yeah,
or a marking or something like that. But it's just funny, like having your kids on rotation.
And do you think he starts with like the oldest kid first, and then goes down and down and down? Like so, the first, like the oldest is always the first one out when the, you know, he gets a bad bounce. Or
I bet not. I bet it's like through. Yeah, whatever kid he finished off with in the last round, then he brings it back up on the rotation.
Yep.
I don't know if he has an order. Maybe he does go by age. But yeah, either way, just like a cool little tidbit.
That's pretty story. Funny.
yeah, he's a funny dude, and now he's leading the next tournament. People have always kind of got on Finau for not winning. He's shutting them up right now. And this was, to me, probably the biggest gear story of the week. We spotted a little something new.
Yep.
So Henrik Norlander, he had some bag of peel irons in the bag.
They're pretty sweet.
Like, they're those type of irons where you kind of stop in your tracks. You're like, ooh.
Ooh, I see something.
Milling marks all over these things. Yeah. Like, covering the entire back. Not the sole, I don't think. But the entire back of the club, the cavity. I would say it's a cavity, but it's a blade iron. So they're called PXG 0317.
Yep.
STs. Can you explain this to me? Because I thought PXG hybrids were 0317 and the irons were 0311. But these are called 0317 ST. I think that was a mistake, like stamping on the hosel?
No. I mean, because the 03 stuff, the 0311, the 0811, it all, you know, goes back to military type influence numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Were the hybrids were 77s? I couldn't remember the hybrids were 77. I was just in the shop.
I was looking recently. It up because I put like a little Instagram video out. I just wanted to verify because I thought I was like going crazy for a second, but I think, I mean, from my research from Google imaging, that's my research. I Googled, golf WRX, PXG 0317, and that's how I did my research for it.
Oh, so right now the Gen 5s are still 311. So if you were to go buy a Gen 5.
The irons.
The irons and the hybrid. So PXG hybrids, if you're doing it, 0311 is still the new one. They've got a 0341, and then
that's
the 0211. Yeah, those are all the hybrids. Okay. So there may have been an older one, though, that they may be named like that. But yeah, now they're back to kind of the 0311 name.
Okay.
But yeah.
It was a little confusing to me.
Yeah.
They're so always I wanted to ask you, because that's better than Google.
I didn't remember a 1.7, but again, that could have been that could have been Gen 2, Gen 1, whatever. Mm-hmm. It could have been that. But yeah, the 317s, they look pretty cool. They almost look like they're raw. They almost look like they're kind of
rusted. Oh, they're definitely raw. Like, he's only had them in the bag for 3 weeks, and they're already rusted.
Yeah, they're rusty.
Which I love.
They've got the big weight in the back, dead center, like the Gen 5 stuff and Gen 4 stuff had. And yeah, like you said, the milling marks are just crazy everywhere. And they almost look like the muscle, like the sole, they almost like sweep out towards the sole.
Yeah,
like the definitely. Muscle doesn't like
looks like a little ramp.
Yeah, it's almost like a little ramp there. The way it's the way they manipulated that metal to get them probably the CG wherever they wanted it to go.
They're very thin.
They're razor thin.
Like,
I mean, those things. I mean, the regular Gen 4 0311 STs were super thin. These are like even thinner.
Even thinner.
Yeah.
But he did say he likes the new irons because he has like a steeper angle of attack, and he prefers a little bit more bounce. Now, I don't know if this is like custom work that he had done on the soles. I don't know if these are coming out to retail. I don't know. Like, we don't know what's going on right now. They're just prototypes as far as we know. But he said the bounce was a little bit higher than the previous ST irons.
Yep.
Which
didn't have a lot.
No.
I played a couple rounds of those.
They were very low bounce, and these are just like slightly higher bounce. He also said they have slightly more offset. Now, usually, like, these days, everyone's like, no, I don't want any offset. But he's like, I like a little offset.
Yeah.
And we hear that a lot. I mean, Adam Scott loves it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys out there who play irons that have slightly more offset. Obviously, Webb Simpson. I mean, the 680s do have a little offset. A lot of the classic irons do have a little offset. Now, if you gave it to JT, he would not be too happy. Or like a Ricky Fowler. Like kind of those new age young guys. They're just like, nah, I don't want offset.
I want zero
offset. But all the old guys seem to like a little bit of it. So it's all up to preference at the end of the day. And I guess for Henrik Norlander, if you're getting prototypes made, and obviously they're milled, so you can pretty much do whatever you want with the with the head profile. If you want some offset, you get some offset.
True. Well, I think also it depends on what you grew up on. You know, I mean, if you grew up on, you know, if you grew up at a green grass club playing
titleist irons, that's a huge factor. Like what you played in your formative years, like 13 to 18, I would say, are huge years for a golfer, because that's when you start like making the decision to take it super seriously and playing college and go pro.
Or play tournaments.
That's when you're winning all your tournaments. Like you're super competitive and probably better than everyone else if you're a tour player. So, like, what you play during those years is probably really impactful to what you play as an adult.
I think so. I think there's probably something where, like you said, in that age range when they started playing tournaments or whatever, there was some shape that they played and really liked, played really well, they won some stuff with it, and it's just kind of stuck with them. And, you know, then you get out on tour and you can get anything you want, and it's like, well, I'm going to go find something that, to my eye, looks super comfortable and I have confidence in, and that's it. And I think there's a little performance benefit to it, too. I mean, you take some of that offset out and... you know, it's going to be a little harder to kind of hit it left, and I mean all that stuff. But
there is science.
There is a little science to it, but I think
for a lot of it's visual preference.
But for those guys, it's more because you could put something with a ton of offset or zero offset, and those guys give them three swings, and they'll be able to hit it straight, hit a cut, hit whatever they want to hit.
Yep.
So for them, it's going to be more visual than anything. But there is a little bit of science that'll kind of change the ball flight a little bit with it as well.
Just to that point, every like wedge or iron that Tiger gets made, he basically mirrors the clubs that he was playing when he was 19 years old.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that shape has always stuck with him, that profile. If you look at all his irons and wedges throughout the years, they look like his old Mizuno and his old Cleveland wedges.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think it is. It's just that comfort thing, you know, to be or a confidence thing. If you're playing at that level, it's all about confidence. Because skill, you got the skill to hit some shots. It's do you have the confidence in that club when you set it down that you're going to be able to hit the shot you need to hit?
I don't have confidence or skill, Nutson. How about that?
I don't either. I got nothing. I got nothing right now.
But we did talk about golf today.
That's right.
We went through stuff. We talked gear.
Yeah.
Got to see your place. I'm live in Nutson's basement. It's kind of weird, like, being on this side of the screen. Usually I'm just out looking at you.
And how to see the washer and dryer over there.
It's a really cool setup down here. I don't know if you've ever done like a Cribs-type tour. I think you should.
I should. I've had some people on IG ask me to do it. I haven't really fully done it yet.
Just don't show the actual address and then you're fine.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm going to try to not miss my flight. So I'm going to get going. This was two guys talking golf from the Motor City.
Nice.
313. Checking out. Nutson, good show.
See you, sir.
See you guys next week.